It's a windy September morning as Nancy Kaywood walks through her alfalfa fields in Casa Grande. It's a practice that's been passed down through the family for five generations at Kaywood Farms. Except this time, the alfalfa doesn't sound like it usually does.
This is supposed to be alfalfa, and you can see the seed lines. So most of this is dry and crunchy. This is some alfalfa, and it's so sparse, you're not gonna see much alfalfa out here.
Her fields are brown, dry, and bare. A single dried out stalk pokes out of the ground.
Does it even matter? Like I almost feel bad like walking on this, but at the same time, it's like, you know, besides that plant.
Doesn't matter. It's dying.
And it's been this way since the spring.
Now, in April, this field was beautiful green. This alfalfa was thick. And then the water was shut off to us, unavailable to us.
With recent shortages from her water district, Kaywood is uncertain if she'll have to shut down the family farm for good. I'm Emma Vandenhainde, and on this season of Arizona in Focus from Cronkite News, we're exploring what it means to live in a world where the climate is changing. And on this episode, we look at how water shortages in Arizona are impacting farmers and their ability to grow crops as ongoing drought continues. To understand how this alfalfa got so dry, we need to look at where Nancy Kaywood's water is coming from. She relies on water from the San Carlos Reservoir near Globe, but the water levels have dropped due to the drought. The reservoir can hold over 1 million acre feet of water. Now, it only holds 27,000 acre feet, dropping 3,000 feet since September.
Right now, looking into the future, it doesn't look very hopeful, even though we try to be optimistic, because the dam doesn't have much water and we are in a drought.
Kaywood received a letter from the San Carlos Irrigation District in March. It said her water would be exhausted by April 1st. She could rely on Central Arizona Project water if she lived above the Pima Lateral Canal. But she lives below it and has no access to water. No water means no revenue for Kaywood.
You look at this, and this was supposed to be profit for us, and we can't do anything to help it along. We have no water available. Yeah, it's a desperate feeling, because there's nothing we can do to make water come down that canal.
Kaywood could level her fields and start over, but the water issue still remains, and she isn't the only farmer facing a similar situation. Chuck Cullum from the Central Arizona Project says the agricultural sector will be the most impacted from water shortages.
So our farmers will receive 1/3 of the water supply that we would normally make available to them. So they're going to be cut by 2/3. In 2022.
Lower water levels isn't the only issue Kaywood faces. The San Carlos Irrigation District is working on lining the canal with concrete, which means construction.
They're shutting the canals down again for a number of weeks because they're going to work on the lining project. So, you know, what's it going to do to us? It's going to hurt us.
Shortly after she walked through her fields in September, Kaywood received some water, but the canal shut down for construction at the end of October. She got more water in late November, but that construction resumed mid-December, halting her water access until January 23rd. She hasn't received any news as to what's next. That leaves Kaywood with a lot of questions.
What is the future going to look like for us as far as canal lining? Are you really going to put some wells along the way that could push water toward us? You know, we just desperately, desperately need water.
With no water in sight, Kaywood's worried about her crops, but she's also worried about paying the water taxes on her farm.
Even though the land is paid for, we still have to pay those water and taxes. That's $22,000 a year. We're paying for a product we're not receiving. And it's very aggravating and very painful.
But for Kaywood, this is about more than just money.
This is my dad, and he was probably working the farm back in the 60s or 70s. And Travis was probably 14 or 15, and then he was sitting with my dad on a plow similar to what's out there right now.
Her dad farmed this land, and so did her grandfather.
Farming is in our blood. We want to farm. We want to hang on to this farm because it's been in our family for 90 years. Farming is our business.
Haywood's dry alfalfa fields don't just impact her. Chelsea McGuire from the Arizona Farm Bureau says Pinal County relies on alfalfa for their economy. Alfalfa and other crops generate nearly 30% of their sales.
It's a linchpin for the rest of the industry in Arizona. They actually rank in the top 2% in the total value of agricultural sales. So they're in the top 2% of how much is being sold off of the farm in the entire nation.
If you think about it, we all rely on Kaywood's alfalfa too.
A lot of people say, oh, you waste so much land growing alfalfa. And we're like, well, do you like milk? Do you like ice cream? Because alfalfa is milk chocolate, milk, pudding, cheese. Alfalfa is dairy in the making.
In fact, many other industries are impacted by the farming industry. Kaywood shared a recent conversation she had with a diesel driver.
And I looked at him and I said, you know what? I'm worried about you. And he said, why are you worried? I said, if the farms go out, you won't have a job delivering diesel to farmers. You know, the bankers won't have, you know, the ones that do farm loans, the government offices, so many jobs will be lost. I don't think people realize how many jobs relate to agriculture.
Right now, Kaywood is worried about finances.
We're becoming a nonprofit here.
So her family is getting creative. They recently sat down this Thanksgiving to talk out some options.
I think that we put each other's minds to ease through communication. You know, I think we always have communicated, but this time we were right on the same page. You know, with our future, what we're going to do if we are forced to sell.
Her son already rented out additional land in Eloy and Coolidge during the summer that receives some Central Arizona Project water. That's where their current profit is coming from. But as McGuire elaborates, changing field plots does not fix the long-term problem.
The nature of farming is that it's not an industry that you can pivot to something different really, really quickly. Planting decisions happen 10, 12 months before you actually harvest a crop. We know we have to do something different. We just don't know what that is.
Kaywood is planting barley in her open fields and plans to water whatever alfalfa is left. She knows it's unlikely that her crops will survive, but she remains hopeful.
With our alfalfa, we're going to put water on it when we can. Everybody says, what are you planting? And I say optimism, but it's the water's, you know, it's not in, you know, it's we're in a drought, you know, there's not a lot of it, but it's going to need to be used anyway, because we have to keep going.
But until farmers innovate further, Kaywood opens her shed door each morning, feeling the same feelings as before.
I just crossed the canals and I looked at them. I just burst into tears because that's our livelihood. And we have never, ever seen the canals shut down so early.
She will continue to maintain what is left of her field as she waits for water. Cronkite News continues to report on sustainability and environmental stories around Arizona and beyond. You'll find all that coverage at cronkitenews.azpbs.org. That's also where you can listen to other episodes of Arizona in Focus. If you liked this episode, make sure to tell your friends about us and to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from. And thanks to Blue Dot Sessions for providing the music featured in this podcast. This is Arizona in Focus from Cronkite News. I'm Emma Vandenhuyten.